All right, everybody, welcome into the Air Raid Podcast. I am not Albie Shore. He is out with explosive diarrhea. No, I'm just kidding. He's at work. So we have a staff writer, Jacob, with us today. Jacob, how's it going, man?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Better than Albie and his explosive diarrhea. He's not going to like that I said that, but that's all right. We're going to leave it there.
It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. You ready to talk some Texas Tech football, Jacob?
Always.
So, I don't know if you heard, we got a little team called West Virginia coming in town. We got a top 25 matchup in Lubbock this weekend. Well, what are your thoughts on the game? How do you think the Red Raiders are going to fare on Saturday?
See, I'm kind of hesitant because the last few years haven't done very well for us. I mean, last year we started out great, and then fourth quarter just all fell apart. And then the year before we just didn't show up. So this year, hopefully, we'll put it together and hopefully get a win.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I think I've been hurt by Texas Tech football one too many times, and so I try not to get my hopes up. But I'm feeling pretty good about this team going forward. I really like what Alan Bowman showed us and what the defense showed us against Oklahoma State, and I'm kind of optimistic that we can keep some of that momentum going forward.
Yeah, completely agree.
Let's talk about players to watch for. Let's do one on each side of the ball for each team, and I'll let you go first.
Well, I feel like I like to talk about defense, and I was just looking at the stats earlier, and he's a linebacker for West Virginia, David Long Jr. He's kind of their edge guy. He's got 31 tackles, few for loss. The biggest stat that jumps out to me is that he had two sacks last week against Kansas State. If our offensive line can contain him like they were able to contain that D line last week, I think we'll be fine. But he's someone to watch out for. And for our set for Texas Tech, I mean, you got to look at Dakota Allen and Jordan Brooks, the two linebackers in this situation. They lead the team in tackles, and with all the speed that West Virginia brings to the game, I think they'll need to step up, make some tackles in the open field, and hopefully we'll be able to shut down their offense.
Yeah, I was actually going to say you stole my pick for the West Virginia defense, so I'll give you someone on offense for West Virginia to look out for. We've heard a lot about David Stills, and then I've even heard some about Gary Jennings, but West Virginia's leading receiver right now is Marcus Sims, and he's got just as many catches as the other guys, 295 yards, only one touchdown, but he's seeing just as many targets as the other two receivers that you hear about, so I just think he's somebody maybe a little under the radar to watch out for, considering our secondary is still probably the weakest link on our defense.
Our secondary has gotten better, though.
Yeah, taking steps forward, but if there's any group out there on defense that makes me nervous, it's the secondary still. So you gave us a little preview on the linebackers. Dakota Allen, Jordan Brooks, even Tony Jones and Rico Jeffers are also balling out at linebacker, so I'll give us someone on offense. From what I'm hearing, De'Leon Ward and Trey King still might not be able to go in this game. I don't know if you've heard anything different, Jacob.
I've heard Ward's probably not going to play. From what I've actually heard right now, Trey King is getting healthier. They just – I don't think they have any use for him right now. They've got – I mean, as you saw last week, we have three really solid guys that all got over 60 yards, all about split carries. I mean, it's awful because Trey King's a good running back, but right now he just doesn't have the hot hand, I guess.
Yeah, and as a quarterback guy, Cliff probably knows how to ride the hot hand pretty well, and I think the hot hand right now is Tazon Henry, and he's the player I would look out for. I think they're going to give him more touches. I think the longer we go in the season, the more touches Henry's going to get, and I think he's going to do impressive things with those touches. So I expect Tazon Henry to have a good game, and if he has a good game, I think that bodes well for the Red Raiders because the running game really helped us out against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the thing with Henry that really impresses me is that he's picked up the offense really, really well. And of course, Alan Bowman, it's impressive that that's happened too. But Bowman ran similar schemes in high school. From the film I've seen on Tajon Henry in high school, it was essentially they were handing him the ball 90% of the time in their offense. It's really been impressive to see how he's gotten adept to, you know, running out and playing in the slot receiver spot, picking up some screens, stuff like that. He really makes the offense more lateral.
Yeah, and it's just between him and Bowman, I think we have a really special group of freshmen that I hope get to develop under Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, I got a question for you.
Sweet, go for it.
Going back to running backs, do you think Sirajic Thompson plays in this game, or do you think he gets the redshirt rule?
That was one of the points that I had written down as well. I think here's what I think. I think if De'Leon Ward plays, I think Sirajic Thompson doesn't play. But I think if De'Leon Ward doesn't play, you know, Cliff wants to have that extra power back just in case, because both, in my opinion, both LaMarcus Felton and Tayshaun Henry are more lateral guys. Obviously, Henry's shown the ability to be able to run between the tackles, but I think Thompson suits up if Ward doesn't play. That's kind of where I've sat on that.
Yeah, and I don't think Cliff would really worry about not having to get that redshirt role with him. I think there's enough depth there. They're both freshmen that it's probably not a huge deal, but I think it's an interesting storyline to watch because I've always been curious to see who's going to... He said he was going to use that redshirt rule, and I'm really curious to see who gets it.
Yeah, I am too. And as of right now, obviously Bowman and Henry aren't going to get it. I don't think Keyshawn Carter's going to get it, but, you know, that still remains to be seen. He's been a pretty big part of the offense. And I think those are the main ones that have played so far. We haven't really seen any huge defensive guys that have just stepped up and played immediately. So we'll see who all suits up on Saturday.
So speaking of who's going to suit up on Saturday, TJ Vasher is still a little bit questionable. Are you worried about the wide receivers at all if Vasher can't go?
No, and here's why. I think that we have plenty of weapons at wide receiver. I know Vasher's a huge target. He has huge plays. He obviously had a huge game last year against West Virginia. That was kind of his coming out party, I guess, for the Big 12. But I think we'll be fine. We have Antoine Wesley has obviously been really good on the outside. In backing Vasher up, you have a couple guys in Dalton Rigdon and Daquan Bowman can play out there as well, that I think will be fine against West Virginia. I think that the inside receivers we're going to have to step up, but I feel like we have really, really good inside receivers too, and including guys like I mentioned, Keyshawn Carter, Zach Austin, who made a couple good catches, and those guys. I think we'll be fine.
So I'm with you. I think you mentioned Keyshawn Carter a couple times. I think if TJ Vasher doesn't go, Keyshawn Carter is going to be the guy to pick up the slack. I really like what Cliff did with him last week, putting him on a lot of, you know, jet sweeps and reverses. Even if he didn't get the ball, they had to respect the fact that he was flying across the field. So I expect to see a lot more from Keyshawn Carter going forward. But I think it's an interesting storyline to watch as injuries again for Texas Tech.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also think that Keyshawn Carter, I think he might be the fastest guy on the team right now. I mean, obviously he won the 6A 100 meter state title last year. He's a really fast guy, and I'm really excited to see what they can do with him.
All right, so let's save some more game talk for our predictions, which we're gonna get to a little bit later. Let's go into previewing some Big 12 football games. So how does that sound?
Sound good for me.
All right, so first up we have Oklahoma State and Kansas. Are they back?
No.
They're back to being Kansas, right?
They lost to South Dakota, not even the good team in that state. they lost to the other South Dakota team that isn't as good as South Dakota State. But I think especially with Oklahoma State mad that they just got dominated by us, and yes, I use the word dominated because they did, I feel like they're just gonna blow the doors off Kansas.
Yeah, I don't expect this game to be close at all. I liked what I saw from Kansas, like beating Rutgers, and then
They beat Central Michigan and then they beat Rutgers.
Central Michigan and the Rutgers. Well, I liked what I saw from them in those two games. I was actually pretty high on them going into the Baylor game, and then Baylor brought them back to earth. And I think you're right. Oklahoma State's going to be a little angry, and I've got this game 55 to 21. You got a score prediction for us?
I don't think it's gonna be that close. I got the good old I got Oklahoma State beating them 56-14.
Yikes.
Oh,
Kansas brought back to earth.
dang it.
So.
I said they would play South Dakota State. They actually played Nicholls State. Good Lord.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out. So, speaking of trash teams, we have the Baylor Bears versus Oklahoma, who struggled with Army last week. What do you think about that game?
Oh, if there's one thing I know is that Oklahoma's going to come back, and I think they're going to put a stomping on Baylor too. Remember, Baylor almost beat them last year, so they got that, and then they struggled with Army. And unless Baylor comes out with a triple option, I think Oklahoma's gonna kind of, beat them down a little bit.
So, previewing way too far, does that mean Cliff Kingsbury is going to have a triple option package against Oklahoma?
I seriously doubt it with Alan Bowman at quarterback.
Every
Bowman's got
other
really good pocket mobility. He's just not that kind of runner.
drive we'll put in Jet Duffy, and we'll have Keyshawn Carter and Tazon Henry. That'll be a
That
fun
might
triple
work.
option. Anyways, so yeah, I think you're right about this game. I'm not worried about Oklahoma's struggles against Army at all. I think that was just really, they were just thrown off by that triple option and it really just hit them in the face. But I expect them to bounce back. I've got them winning 49 to 20 against Baylor.
I have Oklahoma winning 42-14.
Yeah, so it's gonna be ugly. Oh, another segue for you. Speaking of ugly, Sean Robinson has looked terrible in the last 2 weeks. He's taking TCU. They're playing Iowa State in Fort Worth. How do you feel about this game?
I feel like this one's was one of, obviously one of the tougher ones. You left the tougher ones for the end of the segment, I see. Iowa State just hasn't shown me that much to make me believe that they can come in and beat TCU in Fort Worth is the thing. Yeah, they beat Akron, but Akron's a MAC team. They're not going to have a quarterback with the caliber of obviously of Sean Robinson, even if he is on a little bit of a downward trend going here. I mean, they kept up with Oklahoma and Iowa, kind of. I mean, they were kind of shut out in that game. I just don't. Iowa State just hasn't shown me enough as the thing to beat TCU.
Yeah, and Kyle Kemp is out for a few more weeks, so they're relying on Zeb Noland, who hasn't looked terrible. They put up a pretty good fight against Oklahoma, but I think the defense of TCU, because I'm with Albie. Neither of us are on the Sean Robinson train. I think you probably could tell. He's always
Oh, I'm
trashing
not
Sean
either.
Robinson, but I'm with him. I don't think Sean Robinson is any good, but I think the defense keeps it interesting. I expect
Yeah.
I got 38-23 for TCU in Fort Worth.
I have a little bit, obviously a little bit less scoring. I think it's going to be 24-10 TCU wins.
24-10. All right. I don't see a Texas game here. Is there on a
Yeah,
bye
they're
this
playing
week?
Kansas State.
Oh, there it is.
They're at Kansas State.
Number 18, Texas against Kansas State, the Fighting Bill Snyders. Does Bill
Yeah.
Snyder have some tricks up his pocket for Texas?
This is my upset of the week right here.
Oh.
Texas, historically in the last few years, just let me make sure this is accurate before I go spouting it out. I think they haven't they I don't think they have a good record against Kansas State the last few years. Oh well, I'm still going with Kansas State. I think Kansas State has a really good shot to win this game. I don't think Texas is back. I know they have two wins against ranked teams. Was USC really deserved to be ranked? No, they weren't. They haven't shown me anything. And while TCU has a really good defense, Sean, as we mentioned many times, Sean Robinson, I don't think, is the real deal. And so I think somehow, some way, Bill Snyder is going to find some game plan to beat them. And that is my prediction.
I'm really glad you said that, because we've been agreeing too much on this podcast, and I think that's outlandish. I don't think Texas is back by any means, but I think Kansas State is garbage. They don't know what they're doing at quarterback. I'm not even sure they know who they're starting this week. I don't think Sam Ellinger is any good, but I think he's good enough to get it done against this team. I think Kansas State keeps it pretty close. But I expect Texas to walk out of the Little Apple with 35 points and a win over Kansas State.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from, and I think I agree with you that Kansas State is garbage. But I feel like they're going to come up and bite somebody, and I think Texas is the team they come up and bite.
I hope so. That I'm buying this narrative. I'm all in. I just don't know if it's going to happen. But let me ask you this. Albie and I have a debate. I've heard of this receiver for Texas, Lil Jordan Humphrey. Is this the best or worst name in sports?
Oh, man. I'm going to say it's the best name in sports. If your name is Lil Jordan, that's pretty legit.
Okay, I was really hoping you wouldn't agree with Albie, so I'm just going to edit that part out. Next question. Let's get back. That's the rest of the Big 12, right? I think that's all we got going on this week. So let's talk about our game just a little bit more. Let's give some picks here in a bit. But I remember a certain time when a ranked West Virginia team came into Lubbock, had a Heisman contender in Geno Smith at quarterback, and collapsed. Do you remember that day?
I do remember that day vaguely.
Vaguely. Ooh, okay. So, I have not a fun story, a very unfortunate story for me. I lost my ID the night before that game, so I could not get into the game. All my friends went, and I sat at home and watched it on the TV.
Oh, no.
Heartbreaking. Like, literally, that was probably the only tech game I missed in my 4.5-year college stint there.
Sweet. Yeah. I think I watched part of that game because my dad's actually a West Virginia fan, so we used to watch a lot of their games. I remember watching part of that game and just being like, wow, like, where is this Texas Tech team coming from?
So, do you think there's any magic in Lubbock? You think they could pull off the upset against West Virginia?
I do. I think the biggest stat for me is ball control. Time of possession, I think that was the biggest reason we beat OSU last weekend. We were able to run the ball really well. We were able to make key stops against OSU. OSU didn't complete a pass in the fourth quarter. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's not a stat you hear associated with Texas Tech often.
Yeah, and another one you don't usually hear with Texas Tech is ball control as well. Because we're used to seeing, the Patrick Mahomes throw it two times down the field and you got 6 points. Now with Alan Bowman, obviously he's got the talent. I think Cliff just wants to run the ball more, and I like that.
It's something I've wanted to see from Texas Tech for a long time. I'm such a nerd when it comes to time of possession. Like, if I was playing an old NCAA game right now, my team would be Michigan State, and I'd run the ball 42 times and beat you, like, 7-3.
Yeah, I like those kind of – I like the triple option, but I think we like the – I like the fact that we got three guys, even four, dealing on ward plays back there that'll be able to get at least 60 yards.
Yeah, and I was very surprised. It was really nice to see. The first half, we ran our usual tempo. And as soon as we got up a couple scores, they really slowed it down in the second half. Like you said, I don't think we allowed a completion in the fourth. We allowed no points halfway through the second. Like, it was incredible to see. And I think I've been going back and forth on this game a little bit. I actually just switched my pick, and I'm picking the upset special. I think there's throwing it back to no more Heisman for Geno. I think we're going to do the same thing to Will Grier.
I think so too. And another thing I have written down here is I put Brown, pressure causes Grier to make mistakes. He threw two picks against a really iffy Kansas State defense. They were able to get some pressure on him. He was able to make some errant throws. I think if our front seven can get some pressure on him like they have been able to in the past couple games, I think we're going to be able to get those one or two turnovers that we need to make this an upset.
Yeah, and that's something I want to touch on too is turnovers. We still haven't been generating turnovers like the David Gibb defenses of the last few years. That being said, our defense is much better than the defenses of those last few years. But if we could get, you know, one or two turnovers in this game, I think it'd be huge because my score is very close.
Mine is as well. It's really close. I think the reason I'm picking Tech with the upset here, West Virginia had four turnovers last week against Kansas State's defense, and Kansas State defense isn't very good. I mean, I feel like our defense is better than Kansas State's defense, and I think that I don't know if we'll get four turnovers, but I feel like we can capitalize like we did last week with, you know, how we kind of we shut them down in the second half. I feel like we might not be able to shut West Virginia down in the second half, but we're gonna be able to wear them out. We're gonna be able to use that depth we have at linebacker and even safety to be able to cause them to get in some third and long situations and cause them to punt the ball to us more.
While I think the defense is very important, I still expect West Virginia to put up some pretty impressive numbers. Texas Tech has the top offense in the nation with Alan Bowman, and West Virginia is at number 8, so it's a top 10 offensive battle. I think there's going to be a lot of points put up in this game. The over-under is 72.5. Texas Tech is a 3.5-point underdog.
Yeah.
What's your score prediction?
All right, right now I got Texas Tech winning 45-35.
45-35. All right, so I have a similar score. I have a 41-38. I think it's going to come down to the last possession, and it might just be a game-winning field goal.
I actually, in my notes, that's what I put. I put kicking in all capital letters, and I put Hatfield's going to have to put the game away with a field goal.
Which makes me very nervous because kicking in Lubbock in that wind is no joke. I've always wondered why we throw the ball so much in that wind, but, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all I got for everybody else. You got anything for everyone else?
Nope, just wreck them and let's get a win this weekend.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. This has been the Air Raid Podcast. Please head on over to Twitter and give Albie shit for not being here. And you can find me on Twitter at DylanSmythe92. Jacob, where can they find you on the Twitterverse?
They can find me on the Twitterverse at JacobHarris_55. While you're out there, also give old Albie Shore some crap for making me change my Twitter name last year.
I was kind of wanted to ask about the backstory there.
Yeah. So my first podcast, we're going through it, and I will give him credit. My Twitter name was not the best. I don't even remember what it was, but I said it, and he literally, in the middle of the podcast, said, "Well, that's crap," and was like, "You should change that," and just essentially shaded me into changing my Twitter name.
To be fair, mine's literally my first and last name in the year I was born, so not very creative. I need to change it. I keep telling myself I'm going to change it, just haven't settled on a good name.
Yeah, I mean, mine's the same way, except my have my... my first basketball number I wore in high school. So it's just, yeah.
Hey, it's too late now. Anyways,
Yeah.
Now they know where to find us on Twitter. This has been the Air Raid Podcast, and we will catch you next week for a preview pod. Wreck 'em, everybody.